It's your move. Overhaul? Readers respond to a December Grapevine story about changing the big book. Out of touch. I couldn't agree more with Joe C.'s article, Overhaul, in the December Grapevine. As a woman and non-Christian, I find I must mentally change the sexist and Christian terms I read in the big book. The chapter, To Wives, is an excellent example. I found that chapter difficult to read with a group of mostly 20-something women at a jail meeting. The language and terms seemed strangely out of touch with the reality of their situation. It would be a shame if that kind of thing got in the way of the underlying message. Mary D., Wisconsin. Text needs notes. I believe the basic text should remain as is. The words that concern spiritual principles are timeless and cannot go out of date. Those that relate to particular experiences of the founding members have immense historical value, but perhaps they could be better explained. Maybe it is time for a set of notes explaining some of the context of where the fellowship grew up and the meaning of the words in the book. Ted G., Roanoke, Virginia. Key purpose. In suggesting that atheism or agnosticism are satisfactory in the longer term, provided one keeps an open mind, the author misses a key purpose of the big book. As We Agnostics clearly states, the book's main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, while in How It Works, we are reminded there is one who has all power. That one is God. For this alcoholic, only God can effect enough change within me to stay away from the bottle. Mark W., Washington, D.C. Touched by God. As a delegate to the General Service Conference in 2003 and 2004, I saw the passion and angst raised by a single comma, following requests from the fellowship to change the punctuation in the fourth edition printing of Dr. Bob's Nightmare, back to the way it was in previous editions. Following hours of passionate debate, subsequent printings of the fourth edition used the old punctuation. Bill W. was no different than any of us, with one exception. His writing hand had been touched by God. I fear an attempt to rewrite his works may be emotional and divisive enough to bring our fellowship to its knees. Roy R., Toronto, Ontario. A risk of dilution. I appreciated Joe's article. However, I very seriously doubt if a consensus could soon be reached to modify the first 164 pages. The fear of change, in my mind, is not rooted in it is just fine the way it is, but points squarely at the very real risk of diluting the message. Corey B., Long Beach, California. Where's the line? I love the big book, but Joe makes a valid point. If our primary purpose is really to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety, then we do need to ask ourselves from time to time whether we are conveying the message as clearly as we can. But where do we draw the line between changing the words and changing the message? If we soften or remove all references to relying on a higher power, would the book still say the same thing Bill and those he worked with intended to say? Gene P., South Bend, Indiana. Not set in stone. Our texts are not set in stone. If the big book were the last word, the equivalent of the Bible or Quran, there would be no 12 and 12, AA comes of age, pass it on, Dr. Bob and the good old timers, scores of pamphlets, or even Grapevine. From I Say. Superstition? The classic text should remain as a historical document and source of inspiration. but it seems to me that there's a fear bordering on superstition about deviating from Bill's words. From I Say. Over the years, AAs have hotly debated whether to update the books written by Bill W. The General Service Conference discussed changing the Big Book in 1995 and the 12 and 12 in 2002, both times voting to keep the basic text as is. This audio is from the March 2010 issue of the AA Grapevine.